What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
With kickoff rapidly approaching, now is the perfect time to start preparing for the fantasy football season. If you want to dominate your draft, check out the Roto-World Draft Guide for everything you'll need to get a leg up on the competition. It includes more than 500 player profiles, Evan Silva sleepers and busts, mock draft analysis for six different types of leagues, positional rankings from five of our experts, customizable projections, and much, much more. So head on over to rotoworld.com/draftguide. That's rotoworld.com/draftguide to take your first step towards fantasy football glory.
This is CSN's Redskins Talk. Here is your host, JP Finley.
What up, everybody? JP Finley here, Redskins Talk Podcast. We just wrapped Fan Appreciation Day in Richmond at Redskins training camp, and it was live, man. It was a good crowd out there. The fans were cheering. Some fans were very, very loud. I think the players enjoyed it. I am here with Rich Tandler, as always. Tandler, say what's up, man.
Hey, how we doing, folks?
Well, so I always say what's up, and then you never say what's up.
Oh, because I never do what you tell me to, why should I do it there?
That much we know. All right, we're going deep with guests today because everybody kind of saw a different perspective of Fan Appreciation
Day.
Yes,
in air quotes. But
yeah. What'd you just do to him? That was the lamest punch I've ever seen.
I thought it was a light tap of the knee.
Yo, calm down, dude. Just calm down. So, nerd Pete Haley is here, looking to build off a weak first performance, and he's way too eager.
Guess who's back, folks? That punch on Tandler. Right. I was going to punch Tandler, and then it didn't really feel right, so I kind of pulled up.
All right.
Good thing. That's the best idea you've had since we've been in Richmond.
Let's establish a Pete rule before we get any further. Speak when spoken to. Fair?
That's really good for a podcast to limit how much I talk.
Yeah. It is. It actually is.
All right, Mitch. Mitch is here, local celebrity Mitch Tischler. Mitch, say hello.
Hello.
All right, real quick.
JP asked me to say hello. I said hello.
All right, so we saw a lot of football today that I want to talk about. But real quick, Mitch, how are you feeling today?
Great.
Did you, or just I need confirmation, per sources, you sang Creed at a karaoke bar in Richmond last night after midnight. Confirm or deny?
Confirm with Pete Haley.
All right, great. Now that we've gotten that under control, saw a lot of 11 on 11 today, and there were guys that I was impressed with, guys that I wasn't. I'm going to start at the top of my list. It was good to see Rob Kelly back out there. He's been wanting to go for 2 days. Every day I ask him coming off the field, he's like, I don't know why. And watching Kelly and watching Pirine today, Kelly is very clearly the number one running back. I'm curious if you agree with me, Tandler.
Yeah, just all around. You know, he knows the pass protection. He knows, you know, he's a smarter runner.
The pass pro stands out immediately because P. Ryan today looked lost in pass pro, I really think.
Yeah, and I tell you what, he won't play much until he gets at least
Jay
competent.
Jay Gruden is adamant about that.
Yes.
Well, Gruden said in his presser today that
who
P. Ryan
spoke
had actually...
To
Pete? All right, if this one's good, you're back in.
Gruden actually said in his presser that P. Ryan's kind of figured it out in all aspects. The only thing he needs to work on is a little bit of pass pro, but then you see him on the field, and it looks like he needs a lot of work on pass pro, so that might just be Gruden.
The coach is being nice.
Yeah.
Did you guys see P. Ryan try and catch the swing pass today?
He just dropped it.
He didn't even drop it. It bounced further off his hands than the ball traveled in the air.
Was that from Sudfeld, or it was a fine ball?
It was from Colt. It was right in the breadbasket. two hands up, and it almost looked like it was a volleyball swat.
But it's
like it wasn't. It was the ball and the
right
far away.
But
from
dude, it's tough because you point out a drop, and people on the internet are like, "Oh my God, his hands suck." Like that's not what we're saying because Piron has had a lot of good catches
right.
and has plenty good hands. But today wasn't his best effort.
Today was not a great day.
And that does not take back what he is doing and what he's working on. But he's still a rookie, and he's going to have rookie days.
That's the whole point. I'm sorry. That's the whole point about pass protection and stuff. He's a rookie. He didn't do it at Oklahoma. Give him a chance to learn.
And the only other thing I noticed, and not to pick on the kid, but they ran a bunch of goal line drills today. They ran a bunch of stuff inside the 10. And I was talking with a former offensive lineman in the NFL, and you could see that he often would kind of shuffle his feet and then hit the hole. You know who did that? Matt Jones did that. And it was a problem. Even without the fumbles, you've got a see hole, hit hole. You do not have time. That extra half second in the NFL, a hole is closed, man.
You can mention Trevor Maddich's name.
I don't know if he wants me to say what he said. So I'm not saying that it was him, Taylor.
Okay.
We may have just been talking.
Send him to me if he has a problem.
Clearly.
That being said, that's what I was going to say. In college,
especially in the Big 12.
Especially in the Big 12, right. where they don't play defense.
There's and everything's spread out wide.
There's a lot of time to play in the backfield before you get moving forward. And he's learning that quickly. I mean, I think you see him, you know, trying to hit those holes. But when he gets back to the old habits and, you know, he's playing around in the backfield too much.
How about the ball Colt threw down the sideline to Robert Davis? That was a pretty ball.
Taylor asked me, "Hey, Pete, who is that, Colt McCoy or Nate Sudfeld?" And I said, "Taylor, the ball was complete and the receiver caught it in stride. You already answered your own question."
See, that's you're a group thinker, man. Nate's had some good days out here.
How did
today
he
wasn't
today?
One of them.
Today was not
today
one
was
of
not
them.
One of them, but you're right. He has had some good days.
Yeah, Nate has shown development during this camp.
He has, but
not today.
The point, Mr. But yes, that was a good pass by McCoy.
Colt. I also think it's easy for Colt to take a lot more shots down the field. He's playing against a little bit weaker of a secondary.
Yeah.
And kind of has nothing to lose. If fancy Colt start throwing, you know, 20-yard, 40-yard incompletions or picks or whatever, you're not going to have every fan on Twitter or social media
right.
saying, "Oh, this guy's terrible. Oh, my gosh, I can't believe we're paying him $24 million.
But you know what he does that's going to get him in big trouble? He does it at least once a practice, goes back, kind of taps, pumps the ball a couple of times, then runs up the middle.
So Pete motioned what he did wrong there.
Rid of
point
that
for
ball.
Pete.
Thank you.
I think a number of times today, especially, it seemed like the defensive line was getting good push, and that was against Kirk and Colt. I mean, throughout the day, there were a number of plays that continued just because they're not hitting the quarterback.
Right.
And then what was fun, and I think the three of us were sitting together during it, or at least you and I were, Taylor. The third team, I don't know if the coaches told them to or what, but during third team drills, they were just tackling. That was live football.
Towards
that
the
was,
end there, yeah.
That was planned. They went live with the third string. It was kind of fun. I mean, you actually got to see real football for a change. And, you know, Gruden and those guys are kind of willing to let those third stringers go.
For sure.
You know, show me something.
So, Mitch, you had Jay Gruden mic'd up today, right?
We did have Jay mic'd up today.
What were the highlights you can tell us about? Now, some of the stuff's not going to make air, so we're not allowed to talk about it.
We're not going to talk about it, and you guys don't know about it. But there was a lot of frustration with the offensive line. You talked about the D-line playing well. There's a lot of frustration with the pressure and the would-be sacks that the D-line would have had. I think he actually was pretty frustrated with quarterbacks a lot today, too. Especially, we touched on Sudfeld quickly, but Sudfeld had that pick in the live third string.
Two-minute drill or whatever they were running.
That was pretty egregiously
bad. It was a late throw over the middle. That's getting picked every time.
Pete Robertson.
Yeah, Pete Robertson.
Linebacker picked it off.
I thought you were talking about Pete Haley.
No.
Pete Haley. I probably could have picked it off if I had enough time to get out of
here. I'm teeing Pete up here, and I hope we get the right answer. Non-junior Gillette division, what edge rusher have you been impressed with?
I mean, that is hard because all the talk has been Pryor and Gillette. I don't know. I think Kerrigan kind of gets – well, Pryor and Gillette have been the two stars. Stop giving me that weird look. Let me get to my point.
Ask about pass rushers.
I'm saying it's hard to answer because those two have been talked about so much. I think people just kind of take Ryan Kerrigan for granted. I saw him – he's really good on those backside plays where he comes into the backfield and takes down the running back, where he goes on block. I think that guy, you just kind of forget. You were always looking at Preston Smith, looking at Gillette. But Kerrigan he's just there, man, every time. He's so consistent. And that's a guy I think people just kind of not appreciate enough.
All right, so you had the right answer. It was Kerrigan. He was getting great push a couple times today in live drills that clearly would have been sacks unless he, like, missed the sack or something. But I still don't know how you brought up Terrell Pryor. But let's stick with edge rushers. Preston Smith, I think he said he's in a walking boot. 1 to 2 weeks, Jay Gruden said. How – is that a concern? And I don't just say no because you want to say no, Tandler.
Well, a concern
well,
so
we
as
know
far
that it's
as
either
what?
A nothing or it's a major injury for Tandler. There's no in between.
No, okay. Do you want me to answer the question or no?
Yes. Mitch interrupted okay. you, not me.
It is – it's a concern for Preston Smith, I think, because – if Junior Gallet plays away, and I tell you what, Junior Gallet is making plays against the run, too.
Right.
He knifed in, got Matt Jones. Of course, that's no big feat these
Matt
days.
Matt Jones does not seem to be running as hard as he could.
No. And but, you know, he knifed in, made a stop in the backfield. I mean, if he makes, you know, shows, Gallet shows he can be a three-down player, you know, Preston Smith started 16 games last year. You know,
he lost a lot of snaps, though, to Trent Murphy.
Yeah, snaps, yes. Yeah. But 16 starts is
I believe
is what
we
that
have
is.
A bet that Gallet could start week one. I believe we do.
I believe we don't.
I believe we do. Because I said, okay. I think if he's healthy and can go, they will give him that start almost as a ceremonial thing because he worked his way back so far. Now it's starting to look different. Trent Murphy's suspended. Preston Smith's in a walking boot. He's going to miss, let's call it 10 days of camp. So then he's going to be working himself back into shape on the back
so
end of that.
So what is that? That's Well, that's coming back after – no, that's coming back after preseason game two almost.
I'm saying
– or just before.
And you got to work yourself back into shape. Now, we're still a long way from week one for Gallet. I think it's very – he when you and I talked to him off to the side there, he even said that. He's like, man, I'm so happy, but I know I'm still not all the way back yet. And it's just – for that guy's got to get back on the field. Mitchell.
It's funny. I was just talking to one of Gallet's trainers in the offseason, and he was telling me he actually used to work with Chris Baker is now down in Tampa. But,
Torres?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was talking about how explosive Gallet's been in the individual workouts that he's been doing with him. And that his numbers are back, are stronger now than they were last season when he came back from the first Achilles tear. So he's pretty jazzed up and pretty excited for the season that Junior could have this year.
I mean, it's hard to know until we see it, but there's a lot to be excited about if you're just watching him down here.
I mean, if he can stay healthy, there's a lot to be excited about.
So Pete and I tweeted this out, and Pete and I kind of had a disagreement on the sideline. I might find the exact tweet so that I'm quoting it verbatim. I have said I think Pryor is a physical beast. I think they'll have a great year. But I'm not sure that Kirk and Pryor are on the exact same wavelength quite yet. So my tweet was... Cousins and Pryor still look like trying to figure each other out. Missed chance on a deep ball, and Pryor had to extend fully to catch a crossing pattern.
Well, another crossing pattern bounced off his hand.
I'm saying, do those two look in sync to you yet? Because I don't think they do.
I don't expect them to be. But so the answer is I would agree they're not.
And that's not to suggest that Pryor still can't have a huge year. I think that they're working on exactly what they should be right now, but they're not – you know,
but it's
totally
it's,
dialed
it's,
in.
It's finer points. It's not like Cousins thinks he's going to break right and he breaks left.
Right, right.
You know, I mean, they're fast.
It's like alignment stuff and like when you break a route off, yeah. Not necessarily where.
It's, you know, it's 6, 8, 18 inches of,
right.
of difference
Agreed.
Between where he thinks
All right, I want to let Pete reply because we had a good conversation.
I think like Tanner said, it's the finer points. If Kirk wasn't looking at Pryor's way at all, I would be concerned. But Kirk is feeding him the ball. And on that play he had in practice a couple days ago where he ran over to the fan after and high-fived him, he threw a bomb to Pryor down the sideline for the touchdown.
That was 7-on-7.
But still.
The distinction matters.
I know it matters, but Cousins goes to him all the time. I noticed in OTAs, that was my main takeaway, is that Kirk really – I know Crowder's not there and Reed's not there, but Kirk has been dialed in with him. And it's just – finding the hand placement of the ball or putting it on his numbers instead of his outside of the numbers, it's there. I think it's going to be okay.
I think it's going to be okay too, but I would not say they're dialed in yet.
I agree. They're not that dialed in to the point that, like you said, they're not breaking off routes in the wrong way, but But Pryor seems
they're still to want, figuring it out.
Pryor seems to want the ball in a pretty specific spot on certain routes, and I think you can see Kirk sometimes trying to be too fine getting the ball to those points. And you know, just like with a pitcher, you know, if you start trying to get fine.
Question: does Kirk seem to be more in sync with Josh Doctson right now? Yes or no?
Yes.
Pete?
I still think Pryor. I think they're even. I think Kirk's in sync with both.
Mitch?
This might be unpopular, but I think Doctson makes more good catches than Pryor does.
I agree.
I mean,
so whether he's more in sync with him, I don't know.
Doctson's fade route today, and that was against Quentin Dunbar, who's got the size to defend it. It was good coverage, and he still went up and got it.
Quentin Dunbar
also had. And
then
that quick slant.
Quentin Dunbar also had multiple TIs in a row and was starting to grab the ire of the coaching staff every time he was.
Dunny had a tough day. But I also think covering Doctson is going to be tough.
It is. It was also the first day with the refs being out here.
Right.
So there was a lot of discussion with the refs on certain play calls and what was penalties and alignments and PIs and whatnot. So these guys were kind of a little bit being thrown off their normal workload.
And let's stress that in no way are we counting out anyone in this conversation.
No,
it's just where we think guys are.
August 5th.
Right. And some of it is, I think, Doctson is showing his talent. And he's a first-round pick, man. This was supposed to be where we were last year, you know?
Right. And he did work with Cousins some last year. Not a lot.
Right.
Some. And then added to this year. I think that gives it a little bit of an edge.
And also, with this daily podcast, you're getting
we are breaking down the minutiae of each day and each rep. Right. And each segment of practice.
If we were talking on a grander scale, these conversations would be way different. So you're hearing day-to-day that Nate Sudfeld had a bad day today. Tomorrow he could be great, you know,
You
gotta listen every day. That's
right.
It. Download, subscribe.
Download, subscribe. Give us some reviews, man. Tell us what you think of Pete. I tell you what, whoever writes a review about Pete and sends me the screenshot, I will retweet it. And I will reply to all of it. And Tandler, will you do the same?
Sure.
All right. That'll be fun. We want Pete reviews specifically.
We want Pete reviews.
And especially if it's negative.
No, we want it if it's positive, too.
Yeah.
We are equal opportunity Pete reviewers.
Especially.
All right. But maybe Tandler, especially if it's negative.
I will say, I've been walking around with JP and Rich and even Mitch down here in Richmond. And all of them have been getting recognized. Someone took a picture of JP on a disposable camera today. I didn't even know those existed.
Disposable?
It was like some old...
It was an old digital camera.
He was so excited he got a camera from like the 90s to take a picture with you. No one has taken a photo or even recognized me yet. I was called CSN guy earlier, and they were just yelling at me for some reason that I didn't even know why. So if somebody wants to recognize me...
What were they saying to you?
They say I have to fix the policy about giving stuff away to kids. I don't know who or what was going on. I just said, okay, ma'am.
Fix that.
Yeah.
All right. So enough Pete talk. Today was fan day. Let's go around. This will be our last little segment. What was the coolest, funniest, most interesting interaction you heard between player and fan? We'll start with Mitchell.
As Jay Gruden was walking off the field, he went over and signed for a bunch of little kids. And this probably 10-year-old kid came up with a golf ball for him to sign, which, as we all know, Jay loves to play golf.
Yeah.
So Jay's talking with the kid, like, why am I signing a golf ball? And the kid's like, I don't know, man. My dad gave it to me. And Jay was like, well, you play golf? And the guy is like, no. Jay's like, all right. And signed the autograph and went on with his day.
All right. Good nugget there. RT, what do you got?
I don't know. I didn't catch it.
You're not a man of the people, dude. You just come right back into the tent.
I'm watching the players.
What about after practice when the players were signing autographs? What were you doing then?
I wasn't standing anywhere near that.
All right, Pete, you're up, man.
I did see one kid begging for Jameson Crowder's autograph, and he couldn't quite figure out why Crowder wasn't coming over. And then I looked over, and he was yelling at Brian Quick, and he thought Brian Quick was Jameson Crowder. So that poor kid didn't actually get his Crowder autograph. It was a failed mission from the start.
Did he get a Quick autograph?
He got no such autograph. But the guys were over there. There's a lot of guys. People I saw signing the most, Sue Cravens, Kirk. Vernon Davis was really, really popular. And then there was a line...
Josh Norman.
Looked like there was almost going to be like a breach of the barricade and the people were going to just attack Norman. It was getting rowdy.
I tell you what, the players, you got to credit them. They sign a boatload of autographs.
Yeah.
I mean, just a ton.
And credit the team. The team also handed out to all the players a football and Sharpies.
Sharpies, yeah.
So they had them. They weren't sitting there grabbing Sharpies
right.
and signing. Those guys went and signed for a while. Kind of hard to get quick and...
Yeah, Quick's like 6'3", and Crowder's 5'8".
The players all took off their pads
and had
and
their
put
jerseys,
their jerseys
on.
Back on. So if you're getting 80 and 17...
83 season? And 80.
Oh,
yeah,
was Brian
quick?
Oh,
yeah,
wrong
Brian.
Quick.
So let's get to the bottom here. Mitch, are you... Do you think that fan was really off, or do you think Pete's lying?
I mean, the kid also is like 6 or 7 years old. I don't think he knows.
So now you're just roasting a 7-year old.
You asked me for a good story. I thought that was a good story. I didn't in any way roast him.
You just roasted this kid.
No, not really.
6 or 7. Did you get his first and last name and address?
No.
We don't want it if
you
did.
Out there?
We're good. All right. The most interesting thing I saw, I thought was pretty. So there was this band of guys behind me that were very rowdy and very loud, and it was mostly entertaining, and I enjoyed kind of interacting with them. And at one point, the guy was like, so they tried to do a lot of like wordplay with the player's name, some of which fell pretty flat. But they were trying with Cousins, and they kept being like, Cousins, you're my Cousins, you're my Cousins. And then this other guy yells, but you're out of the family if you leave the team. And I just thought that was kind of funny. And it was the first little batch of like, fans yelling about the contract stuff I've heard. I don't know if you guys have heard other stuff.
I mean, just had the whole story yesterday about the $24 million man.
Right. All right. So.
The second time.
Maybe my story sucked. I don't know. But
it's better than Pete's.
I mean,
at least you didn't roast the kid, I guess.
Maybe we just keep Pete around so that we can all tell good stories.
Yeah.
All right. Last thing. I went around and asked a bunch of players, because they're all signing so many autographs, what's the weirdest thing you had to sign? We got some pretty funny responses, including a breast. You're going to have to find the video. It's going to be up on CSN. You'll be entertained by it. I was entertained by it. Everybody say goodbye.
That was abrupt.
Is that abrupt? Okay.
Well, aren't you guys going to tell jokes? Isn't there?
No, dude.
No,
joke time with Tandler is not a daily segment.
Tuesdays with Tandler is his joke day. We got a lot of run last week or the other day with it. It was fun.
We'll come back to joke time with Tandler.
Do I get a segment at some point?
No, dude.
Never.
No.
I'm just happy to be on here.
You gotta
I shouldn't be asking
you gotta
for a
wait another million years.
I'm getting
to
a little greedy.
No, remember, you're supposed to like talk less and just.
I'm not going to sit on a podcast, which is supposed to be where people talk and not talk.
But there's plenty of people. All right, we're dragging
we're
on here.
We
are. Mitch, take us out.
Guys, thanks for listening. Really happy to be joined by JP, Rich, and I guess Pete, too. If you made it this far, we owe you a beer.
I owe you a beer.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chevy Buick GMC. Let's ride together.